Good evening. I'm Pastor Joe Brazino from Locust Grove Church, and we're going to embark on another Bible study lesson on God, the Holy Spirit. This has been a really good series, not because I'm teaching it, but because of the content that is found in the Word of God regarding the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And so tonight I want to kind of begin with a little bit of a story as we commence our lesson. And that is, there was an older guy that had a young gal on his arm, and he was out and about. They were just enjoying an afternoon downtown, and he ran into his doctor, and the doctor said, "What are you doing out here?" He said, "Well, doctor," he said, "I'm enjoying life like you told me to." He said, "When did I say that?" He said, "Well," he says, "last time I saw you, doctor, you said, get a hot mama and be cheerful." The doctor said, "What?" He said, "I told you, you got a heart murmur. Be careful." You know, the doctor loved him enough and respected the man enough to tell him the truth. Apparently, his hearing must have been off. And, you know, how often does the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth, speak truth to our lives and speak the Word of God to our lives? And sometimes, you know, if we can be honest with each other tonight, you know, the Word of God isn't always all positive and isn't always all encouraging. Sometimes it gets in our face. It gets in our grill. And, you know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is alive and sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing asunder to the soul, the heart, even to the inner parts of our very being. And, you know, if we walk with Jesus long enough, we find out that Jesus is a Jesus of truth. He's a Jesus of love, but he's also a Jesus of truth. But sometimes we're like the old guy. We don't hear quite well the truth like the doctor had told this older guy. He thought, the older guy thought he was saying, you know, go have fun, live it up. So he got him a sugar baby, and that's not what the doctor ordered. His hearing was not well. And I wonder how often our hearing is not well when it comes to listen carefully, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And so tonight I want to explore that very briefly, the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all know that is true? You know, if we walk with Jesus long enough, there are areas of our lives, of our being, that he will shine the light of truth on. Not because he hates us, not because he's against us. He loves us. He's for us. But because he loves us, he's going to draw attention to some sometimes unflattering parts of ourselves, some characteristics that are not very godly. Some are sinful. Some are vile in the depth of the way they reside in our soul. So this evening we're going to explore that. If you have your Bibles with you, and I would encourage you to get your Bibles so that we can explore these truths together. I want us to look at John, the Gospel of John chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus here is speaking to his disciples and kind of giving them a farewell speech. And It's a farewell speech that spans chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, and then in chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, Jesus prays for them. And you can imagine how the disciples are reacting to all this. They're feeling somewhat betrayed. They feel like they're being left alone. So Jesus has to comfort them and tell them, "Look, guys, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you fatherless. I'm not going to leave you without any comfort. I'm going to send the comforter to you." And so here, if you're in John chapter 16, let's read verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, the parakletos," we've looked at him, "will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Next verse. "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more." Verse 11, "Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." So, from there we see that part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sin. Now, does that include God's children? Absolutely. You know, the book of Hebrews chapter 12 makes it very clear that the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone, all of his children, and he scourges. You know, there are degrees to this form of discipline, but initially it comes as a conviction of the Holy Spirit, and it's a very real ministry. I believe that that sin, you know, the sin at its very root is nothing more, nothing less than unbelief. Why is it that some of us nurse some of our sins, some of our sinful habits, some of old habits? Why it's hard for us to let them go? Why we draw some form of comfort from old habits, sinful habits that are unpleasing to the Lord, that are detrimental to our spiritual health? They are detrimental to our emotional well-being. They are detrimental to our lives in short. Why is it? Because at the root of sin is unbelief. We don't believe God in a certain promise. Sometimes we think, well, I'm going to engage in this activity because it's my go-to comfort. Instead of looking to him for comfort, well, Pastor Joe, I have to wait. I have to do this. I have to do that. Why are we so short-sighted? Why are we so often like King Saul? I've been reading about him in the Old Testament when he was supposed to wait for the priest to come offer up sacrifices, and he didn't. So he did that himself, and Samuel, I believe it was, tore into him and said, man, you should not have done that. And so the prophet Samuel. So anyway, we're a lot like that. We're very short-sighted, and somehow at the core of our being, in some area or another, we do not believe the promises of God that he'll take care of us, that he promises us a good life if we but obey him, if we but follow him. And so sometimes there's that disconnect in our lives. I'll be open with you. You know, there are areas in my life that I want to match up with my proclamation. And for the most part, they do. But there are areas in my life that I struggle with. I think all of us have areas in our lives that we struggle with. I think that we have to be very careful not to pounce on each other. You know, there's that old proverb, that old adage, do not judge an Indian unless you walk a mile in his moccasins. And there's a lot of truth to that. You know, it's easy for me to stand back and tell someone how they should correct their lives if I'm not looking at my own life and trying to, you know, remove that plank out of my eye. I'm too concerned about somebody's speck in their eye. And so we've got to be careful with that. So there is the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, turn with me to the book of Revelation. The book of Acts describes the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Jesus. I don't think that's a reach for us to believe or agree with. First of all, it's in the Word of God. Secondly, the Holy Spirit does not go to testify of himself. Jesus said he went to testify. He's come, rather, to testify of Jesus to us. And part of that is leading us into what Jesus said. Jesus said he will bring things to your mind. He'll recall things to your mind of what I have told you. So go with me to Revelation 3. And I want you to see how Jesus deals with a church that needs the conviction of the Holy Spirit in a worse kind of way. They're the worst church of the seven mentioned in the book of Revelation, Revelations chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. The worst one, the church of Laodicea. And it had so much going against it. They were living high on the hog, so to speak. They had so much wealth in their city. They had the best of everything of medical technology at that time. They had the best aqueducts, you know, and so they had the best wool providers, the finest in wool, the finest in clothing. The finest in everything, and they had kind of a country club cavalier attitude towards Jesus and the Lord. And Jesus sends them a very scathing message out of love. Jesus convicted them out of love. Now, let's go, since we're here in Revelation chapter 3, I want us to look at something. I'm going to jump in. I'm not going to read all of it. Let's just jump into verse 17 of Revelation 3. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and that do not know that you are actually wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Wow. Boy, that church was deceived, wasn't it? You know, and how the enemy tries to puff us up to think that we are so hot, we're hot stuff, we're self-sufficient, we've got it going on, we're rating all the grades, you know, and so here we are, and we believe our own news clippings, and we believe that we're all that, and then Jesus exposes our true nature to us. How many of y'all would agree with me that that's painful? You know, if you've ever lived through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you know that the Holy Spirit is going to read your mail, buddy or sister. And when he does, it's going to be very painful. Because there's so much, now I feel like I'm speaking by the Spirit of God, but there's so much time you can take a broom and just sweep it under the rug of mercy. And the Holy Spirit will let you do that. But at some point, the Holy Spirit's going to say, yo, time to look under the rug. Look at all the stuff that you've been sweeping under that rug. It's time for us to deal with it. And you're like, no, that's too painful. I've lived with that all my life. It might not be a sin necessarily, but it might be a wound in your life that leads to kind of dangerous behavior on our parts. Why do some people act out? You know, we talked about it before on Sunday mornings, because they're looking for love in all the wrong places. They have an empty love tank, which we all have love tanks. They have an empty love tank, and they're looking for other people, for faces, places, and spaces to fill that love tank for them, when the Holy Spirit's saying, you're looking in all the wrong places. You should be looking to me. I'll gladly fill you. I'm not against you. I'm not here to chew you out, but I'm here to remove that gunk out of your life, all that dirt under your rug. It's time for some spring cleaning, is what the Holy Spirit says. So he'll shine the light on those parts, and you know, we know what they are. I think we can play dumb, we can hem-haw around, we can try to shuck and jive God, but he's the Spirit of truth. We can't lie to God. He sees it all. All things are bare and open before the eyes of whom with whom we have to deal or give an account. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says, all things are open to him. So when he comes, listen, we have to endure a little bit of pain. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 11 says that no discipline at the time is pleasurable, but it is painful. That's out of the New International Version. But afterward, after a moment of pain, after a season of the ouch, Lord, this is too painful for you to touch me in. This is an area of my heart that's way too tender. And he's touching on it, not because he hates you, but because he loves you. And so he wants us to look into that aspect and begin to work on it. You know, it's funny, I'll open my heart to you. You know, during this quarantine time, I have found myself with a lot of time to deal with me. And, you know, I've had to look at my heart in areas that I was just too busy to look at. Can anybody relate? Anybody too busy? I think sometimes we're addicted to busyness because we don't want to stop and look at ourselves, at areas that the Holy Spirit might be shining the light on. And he does it out of love. So anyway, let's move on here. In Revelation chapter 18, he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Notice what Jesus is saying. Look, I don't want to reveal your nakedness. I don't want to expose your nakedness to the world. I don't want to hang your dirty laundry out there for all the people to see and gossip about and talk about. That never happens in churches, right? Wrong. And Jesus is saying, look, I'm giving you time right now. Let's deal with it between us. Just you and me. Let's deal with it and nobody will know about it. How many of us know that we're like the old dude in that story that doesn't hear correctly? He hears what he wants to hear. Get a hot mama and be cheerful instead of, buddy, you got a heart murmur. Be careful. See? And so we have to deal with that. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Boy, what a promise, huh? What a promise the Lord Jesus tells us. And this is the very role of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to draw something to our attention here in verse 20. When he says, I stand at the door of your heart and knock, it's present active indicative in the Greek language. So in other words, it doesn't say, I knock once. He's saying, I'm knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. Until when, Pastor Jim? Until you open the door. Because he loves you. Is he knocking on your door? Is the Holy Spirit convicting you of some sin? You know, Jesus is at the door of your heart via the agency of the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, if you hear me, if you hear my voice, open the door. He says, I will come in and I'll dine with you and we'll have a wonderful time together. Do you believe that? And it is my prayer tonight that you see the essence, the criticalness of this ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's on our side. He's not against us. He's for us. Listen, I'm going to make a statement that you should memorize, draw it to heart. God is always for our highest and our best. Never for our worst. Never for our lowest. Only for our highest and our best. And for us to reach those points in our lives, spiritually, emotionally, physically, in every area of our lives, relationally, we must heed the convicting voice of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Holy Father, what an honor it is always to minister your word. Thank you that it is truly alive, Father. Father, perhaps during this time where we're pent up, we've snapped at each other. We've done things that we regret. Lord, we've done things that we know we shouldn't have. We've crossed boundaries with you, Lord, with other people. Father, forgive us. We repent. We give in to the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit. And show us, Lord. Lord God, teach us truth. You desire truth in the inward person. Lord God, show us the way of everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen.